Welcome to the People of Relic Nikkei podcast, where you're going to hear the stories of the people that work at these two amazing advertising agencies. Relic focuses on tourism, and EKR works with a variety of businesses to help people get the right message to the right people at the right time. And we have amazing people in our organization, and I am going to interview them to hear the unique stories and backgrounds that they have to help you better get to know the people of Relic and EKR. John Thomas, or JT, thank you for joining me on the People of Relic and EKR podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good. Yeah. Happy to have you here and happy to have you joining me here on the show. It's exciting to be able to get to know you a little bit better because you are one of our employees that is not based here at the mothership, right? You're out in St. George, Utah, where we used to be based and work remotely. So it's fun to do this.
Yeah, definitely not at the mothership. I live in St. Gorgeous, as some would say. It's starting to get hot. So it depends on what time of year, if people want to visit St. George or not.
Yeah. Yeah. St. Torchus in the summertime, right?
Yeah.
Well, John, tell me a little bit just about you and I like to start kind of at your childhood and what was your upbringing like, and then we can kind of get into your journey that led you here.
Okay. I was born in Utah. I was born up in Salt Lake. I was raised most of my life since second grade in West Valley City, just below the USANA Amphitheater and Frito-Lay plant. That's where I spent most of my time.
Nice.
Growing up. Before that, I did spend a little bit of time in Waco, Texas, when I was really young.
At the commune.
Yeah, before David Koresh made it famous. But then I did move back to Utah, spent most of my time in Utah. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. My younger sister's 12 years younger than I am. She was a whoops baby, I guess you could say. Then I met my wife up in Cache Valley, up in Logan, which is a good city, good town. Recently learned that Google Fiber is now wanting to do a bunch of stuff there, and they're growing. And then after I met her, we moved to Layton for about 9 months. And I remember her asking me the question, and she's from Minersville. If you know kind of where Minersville is, Beaver County, about 19 miles west of Beaver.
Okay.
And so that's where she's from. So she's from a small town. And oddly enough, her family and my family kind of knew each other. Her grandma and so her grandma's sister and my grandpa's brother were married.
Okay.
So when we actually got married, my cousins were always joking that I married my cousin, but that's not true. at my mom's side of the family is from Richfield and Monroe and those parts. And so
okay.
That's kind of where those small town families come together. So anyways, when we lived in Layton, she asked me, do you want to stay on the Wasatch Front? And I said, oh, absolutely not. Let's fly south. And she had gone to school in St. George, and she had her brother that lived down in St. George. And so we moved to St. George 20 years ago this month, in May of 2003. And we've been in St. George ever since.
Wow.
And we've only visited Salt Lake area. And then every time we visit, we always go, yeah, let's go home.
Well, nice, John. Thanks for giving me the rundown. I think I want to start at, you mentioned you grew up early on in West Valley and then ended up in Waco, Texas. What was it that took you to Waco, Texas?
At the time, I think it had to have been something with my father's job, or he got a job or something. I come from a dysfunctional family. So I'm guessing when I was super young at that time, it had to have been something with a job. My mom did take us back to Utah and left him there in Texas. We went back to Richfield.
Okay.
So honestly, I couldn't tell you. This is what I remember from Waco, Texas, Adam. I remembered I played soccer there as a young boy and picking snails off of the fence and chucking them.
Wow. That's a very specific memory, but I guess that's the type of memory that sticks with you if you look back on it going, I think I probably wouldn't do that today.
I know, isn't that random?
It is random. Well, how old were you then when you came back to Utah?
When I came back, I went to first grade, so I must have been kindergarten in Waco.
5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, John, a question I'm asking everybody as they kind of look back on their childhood and tell me their story, I'm wondering if there's a formative experience that you maybe had as a childhood that's had an impact on who you are today as an adult.
You know, I can, you know, this is kind of seem weird, but definitely an experience that has stuck with me. I was 8 or so, and I remember getting in trouble, and I remember asking my mom, why did you marry that guy? And obviously I got in big trouble. And then that was the start, I would say, of me not having a relationship with my father and me and him not getting along. That has changed my life on now with myself being a husband and then also a dad as well, on not taking your spouse or your kids for granted and cherishing them.
So if I'm understanding correctly, you were asking your mom at 8 years old, why in the world did you marry my dad originally, is what you were asking, right?
Yep.
Okay. And so you got a little blowback from that question, it sounds like.
Yeah, he heard it and I got in trouble.
Oh, he heard it. Okay, that's the part that I missed.
Yeah.
Wow, I can see why that's a pretty outstanding memory for you.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good memory, but that is a memory that definitely shaped my future.
Yeah, I meant outstanding in the sense that it stands out, right? I probably just worded that poorly, but I could see why you remember it clearly. As you carry that into adulthood and you look at you mentioned your wife and kids and that you want to make sure you don't take them for granted, what steps do you take to ensure that you don't?
The biggest thing is time. And granted, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm sure you can attest, but nothing is more important than time. And you can't buy time. And I remember when I had, we adopted our 2 girls.
Okay.
And our first daughter that we adopted, we were in Richfield. We were at the hospital with our birth mom. And then when we were able to bring our daughter, we went to, we call it the farm out there in Richfield, but it was my mother or my grandma's brother's house. And I remember him telling me, don't ever sacrifice not giving time to your kids. That's the biggest piece of advice I can give you. Mm. And so I've definitely taken that piece of advice, and it doesn't matter. I've noticed they just like to have time spending with you to do whatever it is. It doesn't have to be super crazy. So,
yeah. Interesting. So how you said you have the 2 kids.
Yeah, 2
that
girls.
You adopted, right?
Two I'm a girls. Girl dad.
Nice, nice. I was a girl dad for many years, and then all of a sudden our caboose turned out to be a boy. So now I've got 1 boy and 3 girls.
Oh, hopefully he doesn't get picked on.
Well, he gets mothered a lot. I don't know if picked on is the word. But John, going back to you talked about adopting those 2 girls. What's that experience like, going through the adoption process and adding to your family in that way?
It's a whole nother world, I'll be honest. It's a world that most people don't know about. It's definitely a world that has a lot of misconceptions. We first started looking into it when we first heard that we couldn't have kids, and it just wasn't the timing, I guess. And so we waited like 6 years or so. And then when we went through that process, I remember this whole idea of openness that was being taught, that a lot of adoptions for the last 40, 50 years have been closed. But before that, they were open. And so they were, when we got our oldest daughter, it was roughly about 5 years in to the open adoption again. And one of the biggest things that hit me was we went to a birth mom panel, and a birth mom explaining her experience of being invited by the family that adopted her baby to the 1-year-old birthday party, and her being super excited and wanting to go. And then like a day before, called and said, we don't want you to come. Oh. And I just remember feeling her emotion as she was talking. And that's what changed me, of having openness and adoption. And so we have an open relationship with not only our birth moms, but our birth dads as well. And with their families, we go to their families and we know their kids and stuff. And so it's a completely eye-opening experience when you, have a lot of family all at once.
Yeah. So with an experience like that, where you're having this kind of open adoption, where you have a relationship with the birth mothers and the birth fathers, it sounds like there's a lot of benefits so that you don't have kind of that emotional devastation that you described in the birth mother that was describing her experience with that family. Are there challenges as well that come along with it? I mean, is it hard for your kids? Is it, and maybe that's not something you want to discuss, but I'm really curious about it.
Yeah, of course there are challenges. I think first thing you have to remember is most birth mothers are teenagers. I remember when my oldest, she was conceived when 14, and then she was 15 when she delivered her oldest. I remember being in the hospital and with my wife, and she was watching after she had delivered our oldest. I was watching Mickey Mouse or something like that. It was like the Disney Channel or something. And I just remember my wife and I looked at each other and went, wow, you know, the term kids having kids is prevalent here. Yeah. But we wanted to keep that relationship open. The challenges are you are dealing with teenagers, like you're dealing with kids. And so you learn this, you know, when they're 15, she was 15 when she delivered our oldest, and our other birth mom, she was 16. So essentially they are kids and they're teenagers. And so having to go through that process, our oldest birth mom, she has always not had issues, emotional issues and stuff. But our second birth mom, it was a lot harder for her. And so there was a point where she wanted to distance herself from us. And I think is not from us essentially, but from the situation.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the challenges, is because they are still learning and growing on their side. And then from our side, it's like you're adopting two kids. You're adopting a teenager and then you're adopting a baby. And how you interact with them, you don't want to, from an adoptive parent standpoint, you don't want to overstep any bounds.
Yeah.
So it can be challenging. However, the rewards far outweigh if you can get through those.
Great. And how old are your daughters now?
We have a 13 and 9, but they're going to be turning 14. One's turning 14 here on Memorial. And then our other one is turning 10 in mid-June.
Nice. Well, great. Thanks for sharing a little bit about that. It's a really unique process that you've been through. And I can tell it's obviously been very impactful on your life, especially with the fact that you've augmented your family through adoption. And I think that's great. I'd love to kind of come back a little bit to maybe how you ended up at EKR. I know that you've been in St. George, you said, since 2003. And I know you've worked in some very similar organizations to ours over the years. And so I'm curious about that journey that led you here.
Okay. The short story is I worked at a marketing agency. I was a website project manager. We specialize in building WordPress sites. And so I was a project manager. I worked with a lot of different people. One of those people was Brian Tenney. Brian Tenney owned a company called TCS Advertising in St. George. And so he would have clients and would bring clients to us to build their websites. And so I would work with him back and forth on a lot of different things. And I've stayed in touch with him a little bit when I started my own company doing things. And then last year, I was on LinkedIn or something, and I don't know if he posted something or something. You know how LinkedIn would just randomly throw stuff at you sometimes?
Yep.
Like, hey, you should look at this. And I saw Brian Tenney, EKR. I'm like, what is Brian doing? You ever had that question? Like, what is this? What's going on here?
Yep.
And so I just looked into it and I reached out to him and I said, what are you doing? And he told me about EKR, and that's where I first heard of EKR. And then as time kind of went through, this position opened up earlier this year with Brian retiring, and I applied.
Great. And tell me a little bit about how that experience as a technical project manager or website project manager and interfacing with Brian, how did that prepare you for the roles and responsibilities you've had since you came on board?
Well, it prepared me because you're working with, even though he was my client essentially, that was also dealing. So he's like the three-ring circus, but so he would talk to the client, get their stuff, and then bring it to me. But working back and forth of what it is that they're looking to accomplish with their website, the goals, the plan, and all the intricate details that need to happen there. In this position as an account manager, you do a lot of, I would say, the day-to-day operation of what needs to happen, what's the goal, mapping that out, and then being able to facilitate what they're looking for into various tasks so that various team members can fulfill their individual roles so that in the end, it all comes together and then you can present it back to the client as finished product.
So some of the products maybe that you're working with might be a little bit expanded or different, but the process to create a happy client, pretty similar, it sounds like.
Yes, there are some tactics. Yeah, you know, you're always learning and growing. And so there's definitely tactics that Relic and EKR offer, which broadens what a company can do in regards to the marketing, which is really good because they don't have to go search out multiple agencies because the one agency can handle it. So that is fun to be able to offer multiple services. But no matter what the medium or the tactic is involved, a lot of the processes and the systems are very similar. And so That's helped me.
Great. What have been some of your favorite projects you've worked on since you came in?
Well, right now, I'm doing some video producing, video production. That's been kind of fun. In fact, they joked that I should put video producer now on my
nice
hat, I guess. But that's been
what client?
That's for Big O Tires. We do all of Big O Tires, Southern Utah. They have 7 stores between Cedar City, St. George, Hurricane, Mesquite, and Nevada, Page, Arizona. So that client, we've done a lot of not only just, you know, video work, but we've done digital work, we've done traditional media work, we've done social work. And so Relic and EKR offers a wide array of services to increase awareness for them, and they love it. So that's
great.
Been fun to work on.
Great. What else?
Definitely in the web world. We have back-end projects. I like working with the back-end guys. We have one company called My School Dance that has a back-end system so that all the different schools, with their promoting and creating their dances at the schools, the technology allows them to simplify that process. And so they come to us to constantly update or fix or add new things to their back-end application. So I like working on that. It's a little bit more technical when it comes to the requests that are coming in, but I do enjoy that. And of course, website projects that I'm working on, like Asphalt Zipper, they're redesigning their site. And so we're working on designs right now and going back and forth and with our programmers on how we want to develop that out. So I enjoy doing that type of stuff.
Great. Well, John, you've had a lengthy career as far as, you know, you started your professional career, it sounds like, somewhere around 2003. I don't know the exact dates, but what advice would you give maybe those in our organization that might be a little earlier in their career and have got a long road ahead of them? How should they look at what they're doing on a day-to-day basis and what their long-term goals are?
Well, I like, just in business in general, I like to simplify things. That's the only way that helps me not get overwhelmed. And granted, it can be overwhelming when you're sometimes in the forest, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
And especially just with digital marketing, there's a whole bunch of not only things to learn, but then there's new things that you have to learn. This is an industry where you can't just say, well, I know what's going on and not constantly learn new things that's going on. Traditional media, there's still new things to learn. But what I've found is simplifying how those things work. For an example, one of the things I've done before is search engine optimization, which is in some people's mind, especially with business owners, it's one of those areas where they're like, man, I should spend money in doing that. But but I don't know exactly what it is. And on the agency side, sometimes it can be very difficult to explain what it is that you're doing or what you, the client should expect or can expect. And so I simplified that to where search engines are, they're only made up of three things, and search engine optimization is only made up of five things. That way, when you simplify it down, a client or other teammates don't get fully overwhelmed with, oh, I need to remember 200 things or whatever.
Yeah, I like that. So your advice is to just make it simple, keep it simple so that the client can understand and we can execute clearly within scope. Tell me, John, as you look at the remainder of your career and where you're headed, what does success look like to you?
Success to me is definitely in the helping side. When I look at a business and they're, let's say, wherever they are here, X, and you take them to Z, that's what I find success. For me, most of my life, I've been in the marketing industry and the construction industry. So right now, success is not going back to the construction industry.
Got it.
So, yeah, I definitely want to keep my roots in the marketing world and learn more and help more clients. That's a lot of success for me.
Great. What do people that are going to be working with you, whether they're clients or other employees or whatever, what do they need to know about you, John? What's a piece of information that would be helpful for anybody that's going to be coming in contact with you?
That's a great question. I would say systems. I don't do well without systems. I like systems. And so whether in business or personal life, maybe not so much personal, but definitely in business and working, I guess it could be personal as well, is I like to have plans. You know, I had at one time a phrase of plan to execute, execute the plan. If there's no plan and it's just somewhat like, oh, let's just see how it goes in this environment, that doesn't work. So I think those that work with me is that would know I like to build systems or create systems or find systems that increase productivity. I don't do well outside of a no system.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep. So if you're going to work with John, follow the system or come with a plan, right? Doesn't that sound like a...
That sounds right. Or yeah. Create a system or build a system or improve the system. But having no system, that's not going to fly.
Got it. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time. It's been fun to get to know you a little bit. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm sure that those that are going to be listening have as well. I'm looking forward to continuing to work with you, John. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks, Adam.
This is one of the many stories of the people of Relic and EKR. I hope you'll stick with us and listen to the other stories that we release on a weekly basis and get to know our whole team. We've got some amazing people here, and we hope you enjoy it.